Welcome to Skills of the Future, a podcast by Perennial Talent. In this mini-series, we are talking about competencies over coffee.
Welcome to our Skills of the Future podcast. Our theme for this series is competencies over coffee. My name is Dan Vanderwerf. I'm principal consultant and co-founder at Perennial Talent. In this episode, I'll be talking to Aman Mali about bringing company values to life and applying them across the talent lifecycle. Aman is a natural trainer, facilitator, educator, and counselor, currently employed with Refrigerative Supply Limited as the Director of People and Culture. She has been in the people and culture space for 14 years, and she has a BBA in Human Resources and an MBA in International Business and Innovation. In her spare time, she loves to travel. You may also find her on a local hiking trail on any given weekend. She is a book addict and won't say no to a good Italian or Indian dinner. Aman, I'm so pleased to have you on our podcast today. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Dan. Thank you for having me. I'm super excited. And this topic is near and dear to my heart. So I'm looking forward to our chat.
Awesome. Me too. So we usually like to start these off with a nice little icebreaker question just to get the conversation juices flowing. So I'm wondering if you can tell me about the best thing that you have watched or read lately.
I can tell you both, actually. So the best thing that I read lately is a book called Talking to Strangers by Malcolm Gladwell. I loved it so much that I then listened to it on Audible. So anyone who's looking for a new book recommendation, please go ahead and read the book. It's fantastic. The best thing that I have watched, so I am not big, I'm not big on TV, but I would say the show Jack Ryan on Prime Video that I recently watched was fantastic.
Awesome. Good call. So yeah, I read Talking to Strangers a bit ago, and that is an awesome book. Honestly, anything by Malcolm Gladwell is pretty awesome. Haven't checked out Jack Ryan, so I might need to add that to my watch list. yeah, those are great recommendations. So switching gears to our more talent-esque questions, what are some of the challenges that you've seen when it comes to putting company values in place?
Yeah. And, you know, Dan, just before we get started on these questions, I want to say, just for some context, I just recently led the introduction of a new set of values at my organization in 2020. And so a lot of the answers, a lot of the discussion that we're going to have today is based on my firsthand experience that I would love to share. So some of the challenges actually we experienced, and I say we, it's me and the executive team, we had three challenges. One was the business has been around for 77 years. So there was a long list of values that seemed to be important to somebody across the business. So when we first started these discussions, because we started them ground up, we had over 300, you know, different values that people really thought are important to our success. So that was number one. Number two was, you know, the group that was working on finalizing this, we kind of felt this tremendous pressure, you know, going from 300 to a smaller number. And then the third challenge, which is a subsection of number two, is how many values are enough? So, you know, we did go from 300 down to six values, and this exercise took about a year. And one of the things, which is, it's not my thing, one of my very good friends in the industry, as I was going through this exercise, asked me, and I brought that back to the group, and it really helped us, is a stress test. So he said, when you are going from 300 down to, you know, whatever the number it is that you want to choose, do a stress test. And what that means is when you're deciding on a value, think about if you come across somebody who's not living this value, are you prepared to part ways with that employee? And if the answer is no, then that value is not important enough. And that changed the entire mindset within our team on how we approached our final six values. So every single value that we have now, we put through that stress test, and not just one person. We went around the room asking every single person the same question. If somebody on your team or within the organization was not living this value consistently day in and day out, would you be willing to make some courageous decisions? And when the answer was a resounding yes across the board, we were like, okay, this is our value. So, you know, some of the challenges, yes, those were the three challenges. Making sure everybody felt like they had input in coming up with these values, going from a big number down to a number that we were comfortable with, and then making sure we are comfortable with that stress test.
Awesome. Yeah, I love the idea of doing that stress test, because anything that is a core value, like, it should be mission critical to everyone's role. So that's kind of a nice way to figure out what those top like five or six values actually are. So that's really awesome. Mm-hmm. So what do you think are some of the threats or pain points if organizations don't take the time to clearly define their values? So maybe if they stick with, you know, hundreds of vague values, or if they don't have values in place at all, what are some of the things that might go wrong in those types of situations?
Yeah, great question. I'll start off with saying values to me are central to everything. I think, you know, the way you decide, the way people live those values, or the way that people get recognized for living those values, is really what shapes your culture. So I think it's so critical to getting them right, because, you know, the values define the culture. The values are sort of your selling feature to, you know, the talent that you're looking to bring on board. A lot of organizations look at, okay, is this person going to be the right fit? And a lot of talent that's looking for their next step or the next home also look for, okay, you know, is this going to be a right culture fit? But I think that's, to me, that's the wrong way, or maybe not as effective. I think what individuals and organizations need to look at is there an alignment in the values of the individual and the organization? I think if you are a job seeker, look for the values of the organization, and can you actually every day live those values? Are they aligned with who you are? Same with the organization. Look at, okay, this is a person we're trying to add to our team. Are they going to be living our values? So it's very critical from the point of sustaining the culture that you already have, and then continuing to evolve it by adding new members. Because if you get that wrong, then, you know, either you have a culture that you're not proud of, or you have a culture that is mismatched across different business functions, different locations, or different geographical areas. So again, I would say values are central to everything that we do.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. No, that makes a lot of sense. And then obviously, once you have those clear values in place, it's nice that they can be used for almost any talent management application. So the next couple of questions, I'd like to focus on some of those applications. So How do you think values can be incorporated into the hiring process?
Yeah, this is a great question. So, you know, what we did was, once we went through identifying our values and then launching them across the organization, we made it a priority to make sure they were front and center for everything that we did. And in terms of, you know, your question around how can they be incorporated into the hiring process, so today, regardless of where you go, you know, on our social media pages, on our job ads, on our offer letters, on our job descriptions, values are front and center. And this goes back to the point that I made about, we are very committed to making sure there is an alignment between in the values of the individual and our organizational values, because, you know, these are the behaviors that we want people to live every single day, and we want to recognize them and we want to reward them. So, you know, they're spread out throughout the hiring process. And then what we did was, we also trained our hiring managers to ask questions around our values. You know, so we did, we've developed tons of questionnaires for our hiring managers that are very much based on our values. One of our values, for example, is being courageous. So we are very keen on understanding, you know, the person who's joining us, are they going to be able to make courageous decisions when it comes to their role? One of the values is innovation. One of the values is customer excellence. So we're all about, okay, you know, how important is the customer to you? Are you willing to step out of your comfort zone and innovate? So, you know, the values form a part of everything that we do in terms of recruitment. And there have been times when we've had to make decisions to not go ahead with a person, even though they checked all the boxes in terms of skill set, but weren't aligned with the values that we wanted them to live at RSL.
Cool, that makes sense too. So it seems like step one is figure out what the values are and describe them in terms of the observable behaviors, so people have a sense of like, hey, I know what innovation or courage looks like in action. And then when you have those observable behaviors in place, you can assess candidates against them to see if they can actually do or demonstrate those values that you're looking for. Cool. That makes sense.
Yes, absolutely. You touched on this right now, and I should have mentioned this. So for every value, we have a set of behaviors.
Nice.
So people can read them and, you know, and determine if this is what I'm willing to do every day. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's awesome, because that's where you get the real benefit from them, because too often companies will just have like the name of the value, or maybe like a catchphrase like teamwork makes the dream work, but that doesn't really mean anything until you actually go that level deeper and actually describe what those values look like in action. So yeah, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. So beyond hiring, how do you think values can be incorporated into other talent management practices?
Yeah, and incredibly great question. So, you know, I think I'm going to say it again, because values are so central to everything and they shape the culture that you envision or you see at the organization. You know, what we have done is we have implemented or we have incorporated our values into our talent management process in three different ways. So number one is we have our bonus plan. Everybody at RSL is eligible for a bonus plan. And one of the components within that bonus plan is living RSL values. And it's a big component. It is 20% of an individual's bonus plan, regardless of what role you're in, because we are very much committed to making sure people are living or are demonstrating the behaviors under those values. So if you join RSL, you know, and you are working with your manager to put in a bonus plan for you, you know, your SMART goals, one of those goals are going to be living RSL values. That's number one. Number two is we recognize our employees. There is a monthly recognition process that we have in place where the managers can send in their employee recommendations on when they live the value, so we can recognize them on a bigger platform. So that's number two. And number three is every year, once a year, we go through a talent review process, which is essentially making sure we have the right people in the right places and we're working on the right career development initiative. So it's a 9-box grid. One of the axes is performance, the other axes is potential, which includes living the values as well. So those are three ways we've incorporated our brand new values into our talent management process. It might get tweaked or changed, or we might add other things into the process in the future, but those are three ways we're doing them today.
Cool, love that. And I think of those three, I really like the recognition idea, because it's kind of that like ongoing reinforcement that you want people to be living and doing these values all of the time. So I think that's a cool way to make that happen.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Awesome. So my last question, I'm wondering if you have any advice for other HR professionals out there who might be looking to put company and values in place for the first time and start using them, given you kind of freshly went through this. So any pieces of advice for anyone who might be starting their own journey soon?
Yeah, that's a good question again. I think my advice to them would be definitely put the values through the stress test like I did. You know, it was so critical for us because there were a lot of, we had a lot of moments where we were like, yeah, I mean, if somebody was not living these values, I don't think it would matter as much. And so they automatically fell off of the list. And so that would be my number one advice. My number two advice would be, you know, you have to be an advocate of the organizational values. And when I say you have to be an advocate, what I mean is you need to hold people accountable, especially your fellow leaders, especially the CEOs, especially, if there is a board, because these are people that are going to model the behaviors that then define your values, right? And if they're not living those values, you better believe no one else is going to, right?
Absolutely.
So I constantly hold my peers accountable for living these values, you know, and I know this has been oversaid in the corporate world, but yes, it definitely does start at the top, right? You need to make sure that your CEO lives those values. And so I would say anyone who's starting their journey on defining the values, implementing them or launching them, be prepared for the stress test, be prepared to hold people accountable. And then third is be prepared to be very, very transparent. And what I mean by that is I'm very transparent, and so are the hiring managers, like I said, in our interview process about our values. So they are definitely included in every sort of communication, but in face-to-face interviews or over Zoom interviews, we talk about our values. We talk about how important they are to us. We talk about how we hold people accountable, how we expect people to live them. And we talk about, you know, how these values help us prioritize, make decisions, reconcile conflict. So, you know, people know what they're going to be stepping into. And so, yeah, so I would say those are my three suggestions: the stress test, the accountability, and being transparent.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Those are three fantastic pieces of advice. Thank you for sharing those. So that was actually my last question for you. So I want to thank you so much again for being a guest on our podcast today and sharing all of your awesome insights into bringing values to life and then starting to use them across the whole talent life cycle. Thank you so much.
Yeah, of course. Thank you so much for having me, Dan.